Hi, I'm Pastor Torrin Brooks, and welcome to Faith Christian Church. So glad you decided to join us today. For the next 30 minutes, we're going to be looking through God's Word and finding ways for it to apply to our lives today. Hope you enjoy this morning's sermon. God's intent is when we are hurting to bring healing. God never intended for you to live your life incomplete. He intended for you to live your life whole and complete. A complete person. That's why inside of all of us is a great desire to find God. To reach out and ask the right questions at the right time in our lives. To be able to say, I know there's something more out there. What is it? And be searching for that. Now, many people try to find the answer to that question in all different kinds of places. And I blame the church for that because in reality, the church ought to be screaming from the highest hilltops, we have the answer to the God question of your heart. And in order for us to be complete, God wanted to have a part in our lives. He sent and designed the Trinity to be such a way that the Holy Spirit can live inside of us and fill the God void in our lives and be a part of that to help us to be whole. The problem is, though, we live in a world that's full of sin. We live in a world that's full of hurt, anguish, bitterness, rebellion. And because we live in such a world, we find ourselves constantly being attacked and constantly hurting. And I want you to understand, these hurts are not all physical. Sometimes these hurts are emotional. Sometimes these hurts are spiritual. And what we've got to come back to the realization, and I hope over the next several weeks, as we study healing and study hurting, we're going to find some things that we can look in our own lives. And I want you to do that as you hear me preaching this morning, as long as I'm able to preach, that is, if my voice doesn't go away. I want you to understand God understands hurting. If you read the Old Testament, you will find every time God's people rebel, it breaks his heart. He understands hurting. But he never wants you to keep hurting all of your life. God wants to bring healing wherever there's hurting. If you open your Bibles to Luke, the 8th chapter, we're going to study and talk about a very familiar story. It's a story that's brought about many times, but I want to look at it from a different point of view this morning. And I want to look at it from the view of a man who's hurting. Once you understand that when we pick up this story, several great things have happened just before this. In fact, Jesus has just come from, not only has he been out in the boat, calmed the wind and the waves, but they also landed, and the demoniac in the cemetery has been set free. And now Jesus is walking through the countryside as he normally does, and he comes across a man by the name of Jairus. And just to give you a little bit of an idea of who Jairus is, Jairus is a synagogue leader, quite like a modern pastor of today. He is versed in the scriptures. He is a person of influence in the community. And he is a person who genuinely cares about people. Can I tell you, you can't really be a leader of God's church unless you care. But in this period of time, when we find in the story, what we do is we find Jairus hurting. What's happened is Jairus has come into a place where his daughter is sick and she's dying. She has gotten to the point where the little girl, she's 12 years old, and she is at the point of death. Jairus, I can understand, being a man of God, is frustrated at the fact that God isn't healing his daughter. I don't know if you picture that in your mind or not, but if you ever serve God any time in your life, there always comes this point when we reach a pinnacle of our lives where it seems like God isn't listening to us. Jairus abandons reason at this moment, and he hunts down Jesus. Now, I say abandon reason because you have to understand, for Jairus, to reach out to Jesus at this time in his life is not the best career move. After all, the Jewish people are not sold on Jesus. They do believe he's a miracle worker. Some consider him to be a prophet. Some consider him to be very important. But to be the Messiah, not everybody's caught on to that vision yet. But Jairus understands his daughter is dying, and he's hurting. And the story goes something like this. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitudes welcomed him, for they were waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude strong and pressed you. Why do you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now the woman saw that she was not hidden, came forth trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reasons she had touched him, and that she had been healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying, "Your daughter is dead. Do not keep bothering the teacher." Now here is a man who's hurt, and he's seeking after Jesus. He is taking a great step of faith by reaching out to a person who not everyone can reach out to. But just as Jesus is used to have happening, the big crowd of people falls around Jesus. And how many of you know when there's a crowd, there's always somebody with a problem? Just so happens, problem people seek Jesus. I wish we could get that through our heads this morning. It's okay when problem people seek Jesus. Problem people have been seeking Jesus all their lives. It's good for people to seek after Jesus. Sometimes we wonder, why do people come to church with so many problems? Well, that's because this is where they're supposed to be. This is where they find answers to their questions. This is where they find help and love and compassion for their lives. But now there seems to be a woman who has a flow of blood. I find it funny that Jairus' daughter is 12 years old and this woman has been bleeding for 12 years. By the way, it's a very interesting fact, too, that any time in the Old Testament you read about blood, it's considered blood outside the body, from the body, is considered unclean. Once you know that Jairus is a man of the synagogue, he knows the rules of cleanliness, he understands the rules of sacrificial law. And I want you to see something here, how a hurting man's situation goes from bad to worse. Because all of a sudden, the prophet of God, the man he's called to come and heal his daughter, is suddenly touched by an unclean woman. I want you to understand that immediately, according to the biblical law, according to anyone who's touched by an unclean person is unclean themselves for the next 7 days. And this is a problem because Jairus' daughter is dying. She may not have 7 days. She may not be able to wait that long. Jairus, I can think, is totally overwhelmed, especially when the woman tells her story and now has confessed to everyone how unclean she was. And yet the funny thing is, Jesus is never unclean. Oh, I wish you could catch that this morning. I know I'm not spitting and screaming this morning, but there's good truth in that. You know, God tells Peter when he lowered the curtain, "You never call anything I've made clean unclean." In fact, I find it funny that the moment she touches Jesus, she becomes clean. But Jairus doesn't know that. To make matters even worse than that, not only has he been touched by an unclean person, Jesus makes this statement: "I know someone touched me. Why? because some Bibles call it virtue. Some Bibles translate it power. But he says, because power has left me. Oh, no. Here, the man who he came to heal his daughter has just confessed that all of his power is gone. Think about that for a minute. This unclean woman touched him and he said, virtue left me. Power has left me. Healing has left out of me. And Jairus, you can see hope sink from his face. And you can see this utter despair. Now I have to wait 7 days. Now it seems that not only he doesn't have any power anymore. And to make matters even worse than that, to top it all off, one of his servants comes into the scene. After Jesus has just performed the miraculous miracle of this woman who'd been sick for 12 years. Because the Bible says before Jesus had finished speaking, a servant came and said, guess what? Your daughter's dead. Hope is gone. Leave the master alone. Now, I don't know about you, but if I put my neck out there and I saw other people getting healed, and then to find out the very person I've put my trust in to heal, my daughter is now helpless himself, and my daughter is dead. How do you heal a hurt like that? How do you heal that kind of bitterness and hurt? Well, the one thing I want to point out, and I'm going to give you three things this morning to think about. During this whole time, even after this, Jairus never leaves Jesus. He stands beside Jesus. Now, as soon as he heard his daughter was dead, he could have walked away. He could have just turned and just left and walked on home. He could have fled in anger and ran, but he didn't. I want you to know that many times when people come across conflict in their life, the first thing they do is leave the church. The first thing people do when they sin and they know they've been caught is try to run from God. Can I tell you, there is still a Jesus who's master of this universe who wants to forgive souls who have sinned. He wants to restore all throughout the Bible. What a beautiful picture this book is. It's a representation of restoration. And yet, when people sin, the first thing they do is run and hide. It's so human nature. Adam did it, and Eve did it, and when they very first did it in the garden. They ran and hid. Instead of running to God and saying, help, I've sinned, I need forgiveness, what they did was they ran and hid and tried to create for themselves a covering that wouldn't work. Can I tell you, when you and I find ourselves in a situation going from bad to worse, the further you run from Jesus, the worse it's going to get. You listen to this preacher this morning. I've been there. I know what it's like to have Jesus seem to be completely silent and busy with everybody but me. But can I tell you, the God of the universe is big enough this morning for each and every soul on this planet. There's never going to get to a place on this earth that people outnumber the strength and compassion and forgiveness of God. We used to sing a beautiful song that said, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. I want you to understand, if there is a situation in your life that's causing you to sin or causing you to fall short, the last place you need to run from is right here. In fact, the great thing is that the God of this universe sends his spirit every time we gather together to wait for you, and if you want him to, meet you right here. in this very room, to meet you where you are, to be able to say, don't run from him. Don't run from God. The further you run from God, the harder it's going to be to get back. And all the things that Jairus could have done, he stayed beside Jesus. He stayed beside Jesus. I want you to know, if you stay beside Jesus, oh, friend, there's no better place to be. There's no better place to be. Do you know the Bible says that people will forsake you in the end? The people flip-flop, they run around, but Jesus never leaves us. People will fail you, they will fall short, they will miss your expectations, they will not live up to the standard you live for them, but can I tell you, if you'll stay with Jesus, Jesus is true to his word. There is no better place to be. Now, does that mean he's going to save you from your situation? No. God never promised to save us from our situation. He only promised to save us from our sins. But I do know in the middle of every trial, of every person who ever stood beside Jesus or God, no matter what the trial was, God stood beside them. One of my favorite examples of this was Stephen. Do you remember Stephen? Great man, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, loud mouth, made everybody angry, passionate about God. Stood with Jesus right up to the very end where they threw him on the ground and picked up stones to kill him with. Jesus didn't save Stephen from stoning. But he gave Stephen a great gift. He opened up heaven so that Stephen could see Jesus was standing for him. When you get in trouble, don't run from God. Run to him. When everyone else around you runs, stand with God. Stand with Jesus. The second thing is, as Jairus is standing there listening, verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid, only believe and she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except for Peter, James, and John and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. And listen to this. And they ridiculed him, knowing she was dead. Can I tell you, there comes a time when your situation goes from bad to worse, everyone and their mama is going to give you advice. Come on, telling you the truth. Some people give good advice. Some people give not so good advice. But I guarantee you, everyone who's got 2 cents is going to throw at least one in. Because every guy has got an opinion about whatever it is in life. Jairus is listening to one group of people who tell him that his daughter is dead. And on the other side, he has this singular, listen to me, the singular voice of Jesus telling him everything's going to be okay if he would just believe. I don't know about you, but the conflicting scales of life must have been hard for Jairus, a hurting man who has already been hurt even worse by what has just occurred. And yet, Jairus chooses to listen to Jesus over the crowd. Can I tell you, there's a very important lesson in that. And that is, you've got to weigh what people say against Jesus' words. Can I tell you, many times people don't understand the way they're supposed to live their life because they don't read this book. They don't understand that God has given a precious gift of his word so that you and I, when we need answers, can find them written within its pages. And when everyone else wants to talk gloom, doom, and despair, Jesus says, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." Jesus says, "Listen, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." Can I tell you, there are things written within this book that show you God is on your side. And yet the sad thing is, in most times when we're hurting, the last voice we want to hear is the voice of God. Because the voice of God compels us to change, compels us to change our attitude, compels us to change our feelings. And sometimes we like our feelings. We like our bitterness. It motivates us to get through the day. We like our dread and our gloom and doom because it categorizes us in the eyes of the people we work with or hang around. Jairus doesn't do this. He doesn't listen to the cries of the people. I want you to understand, it's loud at Jairus' house. They had professional mourners come in. In fact, I think it was Mark that says they had minstrels come in. Everybody was in funeral mode, but Jesus and Jairus. Everyone had given up hope and had listened to the words of whoever had declared her dead more than the words of the person who says, "I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Can I tell you, the greatest travesty in the world today is that God has given us his word and we do not listen. There is life in this book. There is hope in this book. There are words of peace and comfort in this book. And yet in times when we're hurting, it's the last place we go. Can I tell you, his words ought to be the first place we go. His words ought to reign supreme over every other voice and opinion out there in the world. When people come and trouble you about things, I don't know, let me pick one, like the economy. Can I tell you, you ought to tell them, "Praise be unto God, God doesn't work on man's economy. My God, his word says that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory." Do you understand what that means? God loves you. And when everything else seems to fall apart, his word declares he's looking out for you. He wants to bring restoration and healing to people who are hurting. But they're not going to know that if they don't read this book and hear his words declare how much he loves. Jairus has only one voice of reason whispering in his ear, and that's the voice of Jesus. But you know what? For the hurting father who has served God all of his life and knows that God deserves a chance over everything else, Jairus listens to Jesus. Finally, Jesus tells everybody, "Get out." Enough of the minstrels, enough of the weeping, enough of the crying, enough of the mocking. By the way, do you know the Bible says they mocked Jesus? He told them the little girl was sleeping and they started saying, "There's no way. We know death when we see it. We know what death smells like. We know what we're looking at." But Jesus tells them all, "Get out." Says he put them all outside. I love that because what it says is it says that Jairus was asked to do something he didn't want to do. Here's a father who missed holding his daughter's hand as she was dying. Here's a father who stretched out by faith to see a man only to be touched and made unclean, only to be power leave from him. Now, we know Jesus has all power. And we know power didn't leave him. Some power left him to heal that woman, but not all of his power. His power is greater than every need imaginable. We know Jesus wasn't made unclean, but Jairus didn't know that. This is a man who follows tradition and rules and reason, and he's hurting, and yet somehow he stays with Jesus, and he listens to Jesus. And finally, Jesus says, why don't you leave the room? In fact, the Bible says in another place, he made everyone leave the house. He emptied out the house. Why? Can I tell you, it's hard for God to minister to you when you're surrounded by unbelief. One day I hope to preach again the story of Lazarus, but you know why I think, Brother Kevin, Jesus actually wept? I think he was terrified of the fact that he might not be able to heal Lazarus because of their unbelief. You may not think that, but the Bible declares earlier that he couldn't do miracles in Nazareth. Why? Because of their unbelief. He wanted to. And I can see Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus surrounded by unbelief and weeping, not just because Lazarus is dead, but look at all these people who are blocking the miracle-working power of God because they don't dare try to believe God can do what he promised he would do. So Jesus sends everyone out. Everyone's weeping and crying. He sends everyone out. It says he took her by the hand and said, little girl, rise up. And then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished. There's an understatement of the year. Her parents were astonished, but he charged them not to tell anyone what had happened. Can I tell you, not only do you have to stand with Jesus and listen to Jesus, but there's a time when you have to obey Jesus. There's a lot of times people love to listen to the words of God, but when it comes to obeying God, I don't want to do anything. I just want to come and just sit and relax and listen and just be thrilled by the words, but when it comes to doing something, leave me out. Can I tell you, miracle after miracle after miracle is defined in the scriptures by people listening to Jesus and taking a step of faith beyond him just speaking words. Look at the people who had to do something in the Bible, who had to reach out and be obedient to God. It was something that made them have to actually do something. There's a point when Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk. But there has to come a time when the person has to try to make the effort to rise up. Jairus realizes nothing he's seen in this day has made sense. The hurt in his heart still exists. Yet if he's followed Jesus all this way, why not take one more step? I don't know if Jesus would have healed the little girl if he refused to leave. I think it's a moot point. What the Bible shows is Jairus' obedience to Jesus and Jesus raising that little girl from the dead. Healing to Jairus came through three things. Standing by Jesus when he had every right to leave. Listening to Jesus when the world, everyone around him told him different. And obeying Jesus at the point of his greatest sorrow, seeing his daughter dead. Can I tell you, I want to see people in our church healed and made whole. But it can't come if we're not standing by Jesus, and if we're not listening to Jesus, if we're not obeying Jesus. God desires to restore. And when things go from bad to worse, God still can heal if we let him. So glad you joined us today, but you really should visit in person
service times are at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7 p.m. Wednesday night. We're located at 582 Rockingham Road. It's on Highway 5 across from Everyday Inn in Bellows Falls. You can also visit our website at www.faithchristianag.com. God bless you. Have a great day.